Hey guys, and welcome, welcome, welcome. And I know what you're gonna say. You're gonna say something like, your episode was late this week. And I'm gonna say something like, I'm sorry, I have a job that keeps me busy. And then you're gonna be like, oh, that's what I thought. It's okay. And I'll be like, okay, cool. So yeah, like previously said, it's been a very busy week. So I've been a little bit preoccupied with work, but I did wanna put something out this week. And I figured that I found a really good topic for the week. I'm going to talk about mental health, because we're coming into the time of year when people start feeling a little bit down during the holidays and during winter because of the lack of sun and things to do outside. But more importantly, I'm going to talk about my personal mental health journey that has entered its 10th year of existence. But I think this will help me a lot, because I did go through a stage in the past couple of weeks where I wasn't taking my medication as consistently as I should have. And so I started to feel a little bit disgusting and gross and negative. And I know it was my own fault for overlooking my prescriptions and not taking my medicine, but I'm back on track. But I felt that this would be a great topic to discuss going into the holidays and going into winter. So, also, I found out, I guess it was yesterday, that I can now get sponsors to support the podcast. And lo and behold, I got two in the first day. One is the actual platform that I podcast from, Anchor. And the other is for another podcast called The Skimmed from the Couch, or The Skim, or something like that. And so anytime I get a new sponsor, I'm going to put in an ad in each episode of one of the sponsors. And every time people listen to the ad, I guess I get money or something. I'm not really sure how it works, but I thought it was pretty cool that I picked up some sponsors for the show, and I hope that people continue to listen. But they'll normally play at the beginning of the episode, so it'll be out of the way. But anyway, today will be all about my mental health story, and I'm going to try to make this as light as possible, because I know that mental health can be a little bit of a hairy subject to talk about. But I think that sharing my experience and putting it out there hopefully makes someone feel that they're not alone, and that, you know, other people go through this type of thing too. So hopefully it'll help somebody. But so yeah, let's get started. Okay, so just chill and listen, because this story might be a little bit longer than other episodes, because there's just a lot to cover, and I want to make sure that that I'm clear in my story, because it is rather long and it has a lot of details in it. But my story starts just after Christmas in 2007. At the time, I was living in Germany with my dad and my stepmom and my sister. And that was going to be the last Christmas season that we all spent in the same house, because number one, my sister was dating somebody in England at the time, and so she was planning to stay in Germany after we had moved, because we were scheduled to move the following summer. And my sister and I are very, very close, and you know, it was I'll get to that point. But, and my father was going to retire the following summer, so we were moving back to the United States anyway. But I guess I never really thought about it until one night we were at the fitness center and we were working out. It was myself, my sister, and a friend of hers that she worked with. And after our workouts were done, we were sitting and talking, and I guess the whole concept of the future came up in conversation. And I guess I never really thought about all the changes that were going to come down the pike in terms of my sister staying in a foreign country by herself, me moving away from my parents because I was not going to stay where they live now because it's like surrounded by relatives and there's no cell service, and you know, it was time for me to branch on out. But so the first realization I had, and it kind of made me panic a little bit inside, and I remember the twinge of fear that I got in that moment when I first realized it. And so now anytime I get like a nervous feeling for whatever reason, I think back to that day, because that's when I realized that, you know, things are going to change, and I started to freak out about it and whatever. But anyway, I kind of just shrugged it off at the time. And so my parents were going to spend the new year out of the country, and they were going to travel somewhere else. I forgot where they went that year. I think it was London or somewhere. But anyway, they left, I think, the following day after this had happened. And the next day when they left, I still didn't feel good, but I didn't really know what it was. And so as the days go on, I start getting more nervous, like the nervous pit feeling in your stomach, and it just wouldn't go away. And so I remember that New Year's Eve, I went to bed at like 8 o'clock because I just didn't feel good. And I mean, this was a combination of things. Like, I'd never felt this before in my entire life, especially to this magnitude. And I remember that I got so concerned with trying to figure out what was wrong with me physically that I did that stupid thing you do where you research your symptoms online. And so I convinced myself that I was dying, and it made me even more uptight and stuff. And the medical facilities for Americans over there were closed for the holidays, and so like I couldn't see anyone unless I got some kind of referral to a German doctor or a hospital. And so, you know, it was a really rough time. Like, I wasn't eating. Like, I felt like I wanted to eat, but I couldn't. I could not eat. Like, I wanted to eat, and I could recognize that I was hungry, but I couldn't eat. And so it wasn't until my sister, on one of the nights my parents were gone, made like a shepherd's pie or something. And I love shepherd's pie, you know, I like food, you know. And I remember looking down at the plate, and I was so hungry. And I cried because I wanted to eat it, but it's like my mind and my body wouldn't let me eat. It's really hard to explain, but like I was really hungry, and I cried because I didn't want to eat it for whatever reason I didn't understand at the time. So fast forward like maybe a week or so when I finally got to see a doctor. First, they did a bunch of like tests and things, and they ended up doing an abdominal x-ray. And when they got the results of my x-ray, they found that I had a bowel obstruction or, you know, a blockage in my intestines. And so what was happening was it was blocked, and there was a bunch of air inflating my intestines, and that air was pushing against my stomach. And so even though I was really, really hungry, my body was not letting me eat. And it's not like I would eat something and throw up. Like, I was hungry, but I couldn't eat, if that makes any sense. But anyways, so once that was diagnosed, I started getting treatment for it, and it was, I was being taken care of. And, but the mental thing started to come after that. And it really came to a head, January 8th, 2008, when a very close friend of mine, who I had worked with just before I changed jobs over there, he was almost like a grandfather figure to me, or he was a really good friend. And I had found out that he had suddenly passed away. And that was the very first time that someone so close to me in proximity had died. And given the health scare that I had gone through and dealing with the stress of the future coming towards me too fast and freaking out about leaving my sister in a foreign country and all that, I now had to face a severe loss, and it was really difficult for me, and I reacted in such a negative way looking back. But, and I remember being so upset, and that's where the anxiety really ramped up, and I couldn't control it, and I went into this spiral of, you know, just crying for no reason. I didn't feel like there was a point for anything because, you know, I was going to die. Like, I felt like I was going to die. I felt like nothing mattered. I felt like, you know, I couldn't enjoy anything because what's the point? And that's going to be a common theme in this story. But anyway, it was really bad, and I was crying all the time. And at this point, my stepsister had given birth to twins, back here in the States. And so, she started having like postpartum issues. So my stepmom left, and this was my stepmom left Germany to come back to the United States to care for my stepsister and her twins. And, that was happening at the same time. And I remember being emotional when she left, but I think it was just because, you know, it was something else that was changing. And it wasn't necessarily that I couldn't handle that change. It was more like it was just piling on top of what was already there. And so it wasn't helping the situation. So I remember being really emotional when she left. But there was a few weeks there where I just could not get it together. And my sister, one day, told me that my dad was worried because I don't think my father understands mental illness or anything like that. And so he told my sister that he thought that I was suicidal or something. And that really upset me because I wasn't, like, I didn't think I was. And then I got to thinking, like, well, if I was, would I really recognize it? And I didn't want to fall that deep into the hole. So I ended up seeing an emergency counselor or something. And I remember meeting there, talking to him about it. And I remember telling him that when I talk about what's making me feel stressed and anxious, it makes me feel better, but then like as soon as the conversation's over, like the dark cloud kind of comes back in. And I always liken this when I'm trying to explain it to people. I say it's kind of like trying to dig through water. Like you can dig and dig and dig, but the water's always going to fall back. So that's the analogy that I like to use when I'm explaining it to people. But I finally went back and talked to a psychiatrist and got onto a medication. And it took a little while, maybe a month or so, to really start to bounce back. And the first medication I was on was Prozac. And I remember when the doctor told me that maybe we should consult medication for it, I got a little bit scared because I have always had rumors and the stigma of mental health drugs making things worse, and I didn't want to like poison my brain and blah, blah, blah. But the more I talked to the doctor and the more she explained how brain chemistry worked, we kind of figured out that what was happening was just, it was an imbalance of hormones in the brain, and that the pills were going to try to even them out and make them so that I could, you know, function in life. Because, you know, the fears that I was having were very valid, but they were amplified to the point where they were just taking over everything. So we needed to, you know, turn it down a little bit. And eventually we got to the point where we were moving and my sister went back to Germany and everything was fine. And I ended up coming off of my medication near the end of that summer. So we get towards the holidays of 2008. And around Thanksgiving, I went home to where my parents live now for the holidays. And I remember it was around that time I started to feel that twinge again in my stomach. And at this point, I was off the medication. But it didn't really hit me because I remember going Christmas shopping for my sister. And I was in Walmart. And I was looking at like stuffed animals. And there was Christmas music playing. And I remember just bursting into tears in Walmart because I realized that it was going to be the first Christmas that I was going to spend without my sister. And that set me down a whole craziness, you know, way of thinking. And I got back into that hole. So I pulled myself together and I got to Christmas Day, and I had felt that it was coming for a long time. It was like building up, but I tried to ignore it as much as possible. And so it was Christmas morning 2008 when I finally just let the gates open, and I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. Like, I could not stop crying. And so that sucked. So I was back to where I was. I was back to the sobbing mess, obsessing about everything and just crying every moment of every day. And so it was New Year's Eve 2008 when I met my first, you know, real shrink here in the States. And so he helped me a lot. And I got back on medication, and this time the Prozac was not working. So we tried a new medication, and we went to Lexapro, and that worked. So I started taking that, and I got better. I'm trying to think of when the next problem happened. I think I was good for a long time, because I think my sister moved back in August of 2009, I was working. I had a little bit of a relationship, and I was moving on. And then I think I decided to come off of the medication, and I did it successfully. And I got to, I'm going to say early spring 2011. Because that's when I met the person I'm with now. And I remember when I started to realize that things were getting kind of serious with him, that I started to have those feelings and those thoughts again, like the loss of control and the panicking feeling and, oh my God, what's happening, type of thing. And I remember it was very early on. I sat him down. And I explained to him, like, what had happened in the past with this and stuff like that. And I said, I feel like it's coming back, but I'm taking care of it. But I think it's going to get really weird before it gets better. And I just want to make sure that you're aware so that you don't, you know, flip out. And so it got pretty bad there for a second because I hated when our dates would end and I would have to go home. I went through another stage where I was crying a lot. Like, I called out of work one day just to lay on the floor of my apartment and cry. I don't know where my sister was at this point, but I feel like she wasn't there. So I went back to the doctor and I had to actually get an emergency appointment to get my prescription renewed because I didn't have an active doctor at that point. So that was that. And you know, it's funny because once I got a good grasp on reality, I came off the meds again and we actually broke up about a year later. And what's funny is at that time, I didn't have any relapse of anxiety or depression. I didn't have anything whatsoever. So I was able to get through that. And it makes me laugh now because I thought if anything were to cause that, it would be that. But no, it didn't happen. Anyway, it wasn't until January of 2016, I think, because one of the gymnasts that I coached at the time, well, she had left our team the spring prior. So she left in 2015. But New Year's Day of 2016, we got word that one of my former gymnasts' father had suddenly passed away. And that hit me really strangely too. So I was back in that same space because I knew this man. It was a very sudden passing and it was all back. Like, I was facing the reality of the mortality. And I think some of it is very warranted. But I think for people who do have this issue, they recognize it very quickly when it's too much and it's out of control. And I definitely felt that. And it's funny because my aunt had passed away a year prior to that. I wasn't on medication at the time. And I did go through a mourning stage for her. I don't want you to get me wrong. I did feel funky for a little while. But after the funeral and everything, it kind of went back to normal. And I was able to, you know, function and get back on track. But with this particular incident, for some reason, it hit me the wrong way. And I got really back into the funk. And I really, looking back now, feel that I'm still kind of in there because eventually I did go back on medication. And I have been ever since. And it has been a constant struggle. And I can definitely tell when it's been too long since I've taken a dose of my medication. But now I'm on a very strict schedule with it because I know what happens if I don't take it. I start to feel trashy. But I have so much in my life that, you know, makes me feel that I want to be a part of it. I want to enjoy it. But it is still a daily struggle for me to not get too far ahead of myself because that's what I end up doing. Is like, how can I enjoy this in the moment when I know it's going to be over? That's kind of like the way that my mind works when I get into these ruts. But thankfully, I have a great support system and I have a great, you know, I have a great treatment plan. I have a lot of great things in my life that I'm very thankful for. I have a great family and I like to do things that I enjoy, like this podcast, for example. And looking forward to every episode every week is great, and seeing how each episode is received is awesome. And I just really, I'm not in a place where I worry about myself. I've never been, I mean, I've been to some pretty dark places in my mind, but I've never really had the thought of, I'm going to hurt myself or I'd be better off dead or anything like that. So I don't want you to confuse like anxiety, depression, and suicidal ideations. They're not always exclusive like that. But being a part of this crazy monster makes me feel like, now that I'm so like read up on it, I feel like there's a lot of people out there who struggle with this, and I'm not the only one, and it makes me feel better. You know, some days are good, some days are bad. Most days are pretty good, I think. And I know my best years are still ahead of me, and that makes me rejuvenated and excited. But I guess the point of this episode was to get my story out there. And I hope it made sense. I hope I organized it well. I tried to stay like in the time. But I am a very big believer that mental health is a huge problem. And the stigma needs to stop, because I think the stigma sometimes prevents people from getting the treatment that they need. Because they, you know, they were like me. I was afraid of going to the shrink. I was afraid of taking medication that was going to alter my brain chemistry. And those are very valid fears. But, you know, at the end of the day, you really have to do what you have to do to make it through and have a great support system. And just know that this too shall pass. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. And researching my family history, I think this runs in my family, unfortunately. So, and you know, even in recent years, since my sister had her son, she has developed anxiety. So I really think it's on my mother's side, to be honest, because I know my mother suffers from it. I know her mother suffered from it. So, you know, it's not something that should be taken lightly. But I always remember when I'm in my darkest times that I would literally rather have a broken leg with the bone sticking out than have a mental issue like depression or anxiety, because, you know, I feel like physical ailments, I mean, you can feel it, you can see it, but mental ailments, they take so much work and so much energy to correct that I would rather have the broken leg. I really would. But I'm in a good place now. I had a couple funky days this week. And I know that winter time, for me anyway, is when I start to feel a little bit slumpy. So hopefully with my competition season coming up and keeping this podcast going and getting through Christmas, we'll get through to spring and get more sunshine and do the whole year all over again. But I really apologize if this wasn't an episode that you were expecting. I know I'm hilarious. But I felt that this topic was an important topic to bring up as we're coming into winter, as we're coming into the holidays, and just realize that you're not alone, and there's always someone who's going to be there if you need to talk, and I'm one of them. If you have my number, use it. Facebook, use it. Reach out. Find something fun to do to keep your mind off things, because winter is a terrible time. But anyways, I really hope you guys enjoyed this, and I really am very grateful for all of the listenership that I've been able to gain here. Now that I have two sponsorships, it's really exciting, and it makes me really happy to put these out every week. I swear next week will be more, you know, J-like and fun, but this week was something I really needed to get off my chest because it felt relevant to me this week. But I hope you guys have a great weekend, because it is now Saturday, and I will come back next week with something fun and amazing and wonderful. So have a great week, guys. Get out there and make people smile and spread some cheer. Don't be Grinches. Don't be bitches. Don't be mean to retail people. just spread positivity because you'll get it back. Keep that karma positive, guys. Have a great day.